ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर भवती नैष्टिकी। श्रीमद् भागवतम फिफ्थ कैंटो चैप्टर 14 द फॉरेस्ट ऑफ एंजॉयमेंट टेक्स्ट 46। अगेन वी कम बैक टू अ प्रोज, so I'll just read it through. Jaidam Bhagavata Sabhajita Badanu Badaguna Karmano Rajar Sher Bharata Shanu Charitam Swastayanam Ayushvam Dhannam जशस्यं सर्गापवर्गं नुशिनत्याख्याशत्म शत्तभिनन्दति च सर्वा एवाशीष आत्मन अश्यस्ते न कांचन परत इति। Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Devotees interested in hearing and chanting Shravanam Kirtanam regularly discuss the pure characteristics of Bharat Maharaj and praise his activities. If one submissively hears and chants about the all auspicious Maharaj Bharat, one's lifespan and material opulences certainly increase. One can become very famous and easily attain promotion to the heavenly planets or attain liberation by merging into the existence of the Lord. Whatever one desires can be attained simply by hearing, chanting and glorifying the activities of Maharaj Bharat. In this way, one can fulfill all his material and spiritual desires. One does not have to ask anyone else for these things, for simply by studying the life of Maharaj Bharat, one can attain all desirable things. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The forest of material existence is summarized in the 14th chapter. The word bhavatabhi, refers to the path of material existence. The merchant is the living entity who comes to the forest of material existence to try to make money for sense gratification. The six plunderers are the senses: eyes, ears, nose, tongue, touch and mind. The bad leader is diverted intelligence. Intelligence is meant for Krishna consciousness, but due to material existence, one diverts all intelligence to achieve material facilities. Everything belongs to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But due to our perverted mind and senses, we plunder the property of the Lord and engage in satisfying our senses. The jackals and tigers in the forest are our family members, and the herbs and creepers are our material desires. The mountain cave is our happy home, and the mosquitoes and serpents are our enemies. The rats, beasts and vultures are different types of thieves who take away our possessions, and the Gandharva Pura is the phantasmagoria of the body and home. The Wheel of the Wisp is our attraction for gold and its color. The material residence and wealth are the ingredients for our material enjoyment. The whirlwind is our attraction for our wife, and the dust storm is our blinding passion experienced during sex. The demigods control the different directions, and the cricket is the harsh word spoken by our enemy during our absence. The owl is the person who directly insults us, and the impious trees are impious men. The waterless river represents atheists who gave us trouble in this world and the next. The meat-eating demons are the government officials, and the pricking thorns are the impediments of material life. The little taste experienced in sex is our desire to enjoy another's wife, and the flies are the guardians of women, like the husband, father-in-law, mother-in-law, and so forth. The creeper itself is women in general. The lion is the wheel of time, and the herons, crows, and vultures are so-called demigods, pseudo-swamis, yogis, and incarnations. All of these are too insignificant to give one relief. The swans are perfect brahmanas, and the monkeys are the extravagant sudras engaged in eating, sleeping, mating and defending. The trees of the monkeys are our households, and the elephants is ultimate death. Thus all the constituents of material existence are described in this chapter and just in this purport. Just in this one purport, Srila Prabhupada summarized the entire chapter. So where are we? Prabhupada saying at the very first sentence, Prabhupada uses the expression bhava to be. Bhava means this material world. Bhava. Bhavan maha davagni. Bhava is this material world, and Atobi means forest. So put these two words together in Sandhi. If there is A after A, then what happens? Very good. So Bhava and Atobi becomes Bhava Atobi. So what is the meaning? The material world, which is like a forest. And why do we come to the material nature? We come to the material nature to enjoy. Everyone comes to this material nature to enjoy. But can one enjoy in a forest? Here another expression has been given, the way Prabhupada summarized it, that all of us are the merchants. So a merchant goes to the forest. But the merchant does trading. And by trading, he gets his profit. But can one do business in the forest? But we are trying to do business in the forest. And here, like in the forest, that the merchant goes, the forest of material existence, to try to make money for sense gratification, there are six plunderers. Plunderers means? dacoits. There are six dacoits. There are dacoits in the forest. But nowadays we don't have to go to the forest to find the dacoits. We are surrounded by all kinds of dacoits everywhere. So what are in the forest of material existence? What are those dacoits, those who plunder us? Six senses. There are five senses, five external senses, and one internal sense. Who knows what are those six senses? Okay, your hand went first.
Eyes, nose, ears, tongue, skin, and the mind.
Very good. So these are six senses. So these six senses are the plunderers or dacoits. And then, there is in the forest, there is a bad leader who is leading through the path of this forest. Who is that leader? Who is the guide in the forest? The diverted intelligence, perverted intelligence, misdirected intelligence. And Prabhupada is saying the intelligence should actually be used in guiding us to Krishna. But in the forest of material existence, what our intelligence is guiding to? Guiding to the wrong direction. And misleading us and bewildering us in the forest. Intelligence was meant for Krishna consciousness, but due to material existence, we divert all our intelligence to achieve material facilities. Everything belongs to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But due to our perverted mind and senses, we plunder the property of the Lord and engage in satisfying our senses. Everything is actually meant for Krishna's pleasure. But what are we doing in the material existence? We are in using them for our own sense gratification. So in this way, we are acting like a thief. We are acting like a thief. The jackals and tigers in the forest are our... Who knows who are the jackals and tigers? Yes, Yamunapriya? Family members, yeah. And the herbs and creepers are our material desires. The forest has the herbs and creepers. But what do? In the forest, in the dense forest, these herbs and creepers entangle us. They tie us down, entangle us in the course of our progress. So these material desires are tying us down to this material nature. And then in the forest we find a mountain cave. So what's that mountain cave? Our homes. Our happy home. Prabhupada is saying, our happy homes. And the forest, there are many mosquitoes and serpents. There are enemies. In the forest there are very many rats and rats and beasts and vultures. Who are they? Different types of thieves who take away our possessions. And there in the forest, then all of a sudden we see a Gandharvapura. A beautiful appearance of a beautiful city, Gandharvapura. That's the phantasmagoria of the body and home. The wheel of the wisp is our attraction for gold and its color. And material residence and wealth are the ingredients of our material enjoyment. The whirlwind is our attraction for our wife, and the dust storm is our blinding passion experienced during sex. The demigods control different directions, and the cricket is the harsh word spoken by our enemy during our absence. Those who backbite us, speak bad about us in our absence. The owl is the person who directly insults us, and the impious trees are impious men. The waterless river represents Aethys, who gave us trouble in this world and the next. Waterless river. In the forest we become thirsty, and then we go with a lot of hope. We go to drink water thinking, oh, here is a river. But it is waterless river. So who are those? The waterless rivers are the Aethys who give us trouble. The Aethys who give us the promises of enjoyment or prosperity, spiritual, not spiritual, prosperity, but they don't fulfill their promises. And they cause trouble in this world as well as in the next. The meat-eating demons are the government officials. I hope no one, no government officials. The meat-eating demons are the government officials. Government officials means the ones who are representing the king. They are coming to us just to exploit us. Because those days there was no democracy, so there was no government officials as such, but the king's men who come and plunder us. And the pricking thorns are the impediments of the material life. The little test experienced in sex is our desire to enjoy another's wife. And the flies are the guardians of women, like the husband, father-in-law, mother-in-law, and so forth. The creeper itself is women in general. The lion is the wheel of time. And the herons, crows and vultures are so-called demigods, pseudo-swamis, yogis and incarnations. All of these are too insignificant to give unrelief. The swans are the perfect brahmanas, and the monkeys are the extravagant sudras engaged in eating, sleeping, mating and defending. The trees of the monkeys are the households, and the elephant is the ultimate death. Thus, all constituents of material existence are described in this chapter. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 5th canto, 14th chapter of this Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Material World as the Great Forest of Enjoyment. So, Sukadev Goswami is instructing Parikshit Maharaj. When Parikshit Maharaj is preparing for death, Parikshit Maharaj had been cursed by a Brahmana boy that he would die within 7 days by being bitten by a serpent, celestial serpent, Takshak. When Parikshit Maharaj got to know that he has been cursed, he is going to die within 7 days, what did Parikshit Maharaj do? Did Parikshit Maharaj try to counteract the curse? No. What did Parikshit Maharaj do? He immediately prepared himself for death. He left home. Although he was a king, not only a king, he was a king of the entire earth planet. Left his kingdom, went to the bank of the Ganges, and he sat down, waiting for death, to prepare for death. At that time, many saintly personalities also assembled there. The news spread that the king is going to leave his body. So, all kinds of people came there. And came Sukadev Goswami, a 16-year-old boy, son of Vasudev. Apparently he looked like a madman. He was not wearing any clothes. And he was just walking, totally unconcerned about his surrounding. No one actually had seen Parikshit Maharaj before. But these saintly personalities, just by seeing a person, can make out a person's character. And these saintly personalities, just by the features of Parikshit Maharaj, could make out that he is a very exalted personality. I'm sorry, not Parikshit, Sukadev Goswami. He could make out that he is a very, very exalted personality. So they, Parikshit Maharaj approached him and asked for his advice, what to do. And Parikshit Maharaj, Sukadev Goswami spoke the Srimad Bhagavatam. That is how Bhagavatam became manifest. Sukadev Goswami heard Bhagavatam. He was from Vasudev. And Vasudev presented Srimad Bhagavatam as the ultimate essence of the Vedas, ultimate essence of all Vedic scriptures. And that is the progression of the Vedic development as presented by Vasudev. Actually, the Vedas, when did the Vedas appear? Let's go back also to that point. When did the Vedas appear? The Vedas appeared at the time of creation. Brahma was the first created being in this universe. And when Brahma appeared, he did not have any recollection who he was, where he came from. He just found himself sitting on a lotus surrounded by water. He made various ways, various endeavors to find out what was, who he was, and what was the purpose of his coming here. And in this way, when Vasudev, after making all kinds of endeavors, when Brahma, after making all kinds of endeavors, was completely disappointed, completely frustrated, and he was sitting wondering what to do now, then he was inspired by Krishna from within his heart. And he was inspired to withdraw his senses and project it in the core of his heart. So when Brahma did that, then he heard a sound that sound was Omkar. That sound actually was coming from Krishna's flute. It was actually the sound of Krishna's flute. To Brahma, the sound appeared to be like Om, Omkar. That's how Brahma heard it. So Brahma concentrated more on that sound. And then from that sound, Gayatri appeared. Gayatri mantra. And then Brahma meditated on the Gayatri. And as the result of the meditation on Gayatri, Vedas or knowledge, transcendental knowledge was revealed in the heart of Brahma. The word Veda means knowledge. The word is coming from the root word Vid. Vid means to know. And Veda means knowledge. So that knowledge was revealed in the heart of Brahma. That's been described, Tene Brahmarida Adikavaye Muihanti Jatsurayaha. This transcendental knowledge was revealed in the heart of Brahma. Who imparted this knowledge? Who gave this knowledge? Krishna. So that is how Vedas became manifest. Now Vedas now have two aspects. Brahma, after receiving the Vedas, he imparted one aspect of the Vedas to those who are materially inclined. And that aspect of those two aspects of Vedas are known as Karmakanda section of the Vedas, which directs one how to enjoy in this material world. Karmakanda is meant for enjoying in this material nature. How to enjoy? The Vedas are giving the direction. But after all kinds of enjoyment, ultimately what one realizes? After all his endeavors to enjoy, one realizes there is no enjoyment here. Although one endeavors to enjoy, and he may get some enjoyment, so-called enjoyment for the time being, but then what happens? Then comes the suffering. No one wants suffering. No one wants suffering, but still suffering comes. And enjoyment in this material nature is actually to ward off the suffering condition, to prevent the suffering condition. That is what material enjoyment is. So one realizes that we are in a suffering condition, constant suffering condition, and we are struggling to prevent that suffering condition, and when we succeed, we call it enjoyment, happiness. But then suffering comes back again. So when one realizes that this is actually a place of suffering, does he want to be here? Does he want to remain here? Does one to remain in a suffering state? If the house is burning, does somebody want to remain in the house? He wants to get out of it, because he knows that this remaining in the house will simply cause him more and more suffering. Therefore, at that stage, one wants to get out of this material world. And the direction in that aspect is called Gyanakanda section of the Vedas. Karmakanda section tells us how to enjoy, how to experience, not enjoy, but how to experience so-called enjoyment. There is no enjoyment, but it appears to be like enjoyment, so-called enjoyment. And then we realize that what this world is actually like, so we want to get out of this world. So that aspect is Gyanakanda. But it has been pointed out both are actually the same, two sides of the same coin. Both are the two sides of the same coin. Both are dealing with the material nature. Enjoy the material nature, get out of the material nature. So, that is one branch of the Vedas. That is flowing in the material direction. Karmakanda, Gyanakanda. And beyond that, there is another aspect. The two branches, I say, one is the material branch and the other is the spiritual branch. Spiritual stream. And the spiritual stream is known as the Bhagavat aspect. The spiritual stream makes us understand who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and how to develop our relationship with Him. So these are the two streams of the Vedas. Materialistic stream. In that stream there are two aspects, Karmakanda section and Gyanakanda section, and the other is the spiritual stream, and that is called Bhagavat aspect. And that stream is flowing with a specific disciplic succession called Bhagavat Parampara. This knowledge flows through, this transcendental knowledge flows through a disciplic succession. Disciplic succession means teacher to student. And then in course of time, the student becomes the teacher and imparts the knowledge to his students. Then his students become the teachers and impart the knowledge to his students. So there is a chain. This knowledge must flow through a chain because this knowledge is beyond our sense perception. Adhokshaja. This knowledge is about a reality that is beyond our senses, sense perception. With our senses we cannot comprehend that world. With our eyes we cannot see that world. With our hands we cannot touch that world. Like this world we can. We can see with our eyes, touch the objects of this world with our hands. We can hear the sound, we can taste and we can touch, we can smell. But that world is beyond the jurisdiction, beyond the realm of our sense perception. Therefore the knowledge about that world comes down from somebody from that world. And who is that somebody who gave this knowledge? Krishna himself. And who was the first student? Brahma. Then Brahma gave it to his son, Narada. Now we can also go into that area. Brahma had 10 sons. The 8 sages, Daksha, and Narada. So among these, 9 took to Karmakanda aspect and Gyanakanda aspect. But Narada didn't want to take any of that. But one day, Narada was just, he, like a youngest child sometimes, is a little, if we can use the expression, spoiled. He doesn't do the others are, he is not, let's put it this way, I won't say spoiled, but irresponsible, who didn't want to take any responsibility. Like all the sages, Pulastha, Pulaha, Kratu, Angira, Marichi, they all, and Daksha, they all took to various responsibilities. But Narad didn't want to get involved. One day, Narad actually saw that his father, Brahma, is in a trance, meditation, is in a trance, and tears are flowing from his eyes. His body was displaying the ecstatic symptoms. So Narad asked his father, Brahma, Father, all this while I used to think that you are the Supreme. But upon whom you are meditating, that by meditating, by thinking about Him, you are experiencing such ecstasy. Who is that? So then Brahma told him who that was. So who that was? That was Krishna. So that is how came the Bhagavat Parampara, the knowledge about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then Narad gave it to Vyasdev. Vyasdev gave it to Sukadeva Goswami. And in this way, this knowledge is flowing. And then eventually, Vyasdev again gave it to Madhvacharya. And eventually, who did you get this knowledge from? We got it from Srila Prabhupada. And the parampara will continue. Prabhupada's representatives are imparting the knowledge. And did you all get this knowledge? Let me ask you, how many of you got to know Krishna? Did you know about Krishna before? How did you get to know about Krishna? Right. Srila Prabhupada and his books and his representatives. So this is the meaning of this Bhagavat Parampara. And sometimes it's giving various examples, like here at the end of the purport, what Sukadeva Goswami is telling Parikshit Maharaj, he cited the example of Bharat Maharaj. Like, there are two types of Bhagavats. One is the book Bhagavat and the other is person Bhagavat. Through book Bhagavat we get the knowledge, and through person Bhagavat we see the knowledge. Practical demonstration of this knowledge. And Bharat Maharaj was an ideal example of that Bhagavat wisdom. His whole life was such a perfect example. All that happened to him, such a perfect example. So this is how we become aware of this knowledge. And so the point is, in Srimad Bhagavatam we find the descriptions of the activities of the Lord and His devotees. Not only we get to know about the Lord, we also get to know about the devotees of the Lord. And from that we get to know how to become a devotee of the Lord. Like in the recent past, one of the perfect example of a devotee, we came across Srila Prabhupada. And what do we see? Through devotee, what do we understand? Through devotee, we get to see how the Lord's mercy flows through the devotee. A devotee depends upon Krishna. Once again, 2 days before yesterday, I mentioned about the qualities of a devotee. And yesterday also I mentioned about that. How many of you remember those qualities? How many qualities? 26. So does a devotee have to have all these qualities? Okay, there is. There are two considerations. Swarup Lakshan and Tatastha Lakshan. Principle, symptom and secondary symptoms. What is the principal symptom of a devotee? His surrender to Krishna. Krishna eka sharanam. His surrender to Krishna. So that is the main qualification of a devotee. The devotee is he who surrenders unto Krishna. Devotee is he who depends upon Krishna. Now just see that demonstration of a devotee. Srila Prabhupada, how did he go to America? How many of you remember how Prabhupada went to America? How much money Srila Prabhupada had with him? 40 rupees. Now in America, does this 40 rupees have any value? Could Prabhupada go to a bank and say, well, can you please take this 40 rupees and give me dollars? I mean, first of all, this 40 rupees didn't have any value, even monetarily. Because 40 rupees those days were $6. What can one do with $6 in America? And that also, that 40 rupees was just a piece of paper which did not have any recognition. So what does it mean? Prabhupada went to America penniless. Not even a single penny with him. Now how did Prabhupada venture? How did Prabhupada dare to do that? Because Prabhupada depended upon Krishna. His whole thing is simply dependent. I am just, my spiritual master instructed me, so let me do it. And he ventured into it just depending upon Krishna. Penniless he went. Okay, that's one aspect. How many people did Prabhupada know at that time in America? No one. Did Prabhupada have any prior arrangement where he was going to stay? No. So you see, he didn't have any money, he didn't know anybody, he didn't have any prior arrangement where he was going to stay. So in that condition, Prabhupada went to America. How did he dare to do such a thing? Because Prabhupada simply depended upon Krishna. That is the meaning of Krishna eka sharanam, depending only on Krishna. Krishna eka sharana, only depending upon Krishna. And then what do we see? Prabhupada goes to America in that condition, but then what happened? Did Prabhupada starve? Did Prabhupada have to freeze in the middle of the road street? All kinds of things started to happen. Like some young boys and girls came forward, especially not girls at that time, some young boys came and they were impressed by Srila Prabhupada. They arranged, when they found out that Prabhupada is looking for a place. Like how did Krishna make also arrangement? There was Gopal Agarwal. Prabhupada just wrote a letter to him, whom he never met. So what was the chances of that person making any arrangement for Prabhupada? So he did. So who made the arrangement? Krishna. Gopal Agarwal sent somebody to receive Srila Prabhupada in the port. That also are travel agents. And they put him in a bus to come to Butler, which was a small little town in Pennsylvania. So Prabhupada goes to Butler. Prabhupada stayed there for about 1 or 2 weeks. I think 2 weeks. Then Prabhupada decided, by the time Prabhupada, through the Gita Society there, Prabhupada got to know about one Dr. Mishra. So Prabhupada communicated with Dr. Mishra. And Dr. Mishra said, Prabhupada didn't go there to stay in a small city like, small town like Butler. Prabhupada needed to go in a big city. So he got to know Gopala, Dr. Mishra, who was a doctor, but who became a yoga teacher. And he had an ashram called Ananda Ashram. So Prabhupada contacted him, and Dr. Mishra said, yes, please, you come here and stay in my ashram. So Prabhupada stayed in the ashram for a few days. So in the course of that, Prabhupada got to know some young boys. And when these young boys got to know that Prabhupada was looking for a place of his own, then they, one of their friends, David Allen, he had a loft, a place, very simple place, and he said he was ready to share it with Prabhupada, a young American with a 71-year-old Indian. That also sadhu. And David Allen was quite influenced by Srila Prabhupada. He became so fond of Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada also was so impressed with him that Prabhupada wrote to some of his godbrothers about David Allen and said that most really he'll become his first disciples in America. Then one of these young boys, Michael Grant, he knew that Prabhupada didn't come to America just to stay. He came to preach, he came to teach. And for that he needed a place. So what did they arrange? Did they arrange a big auditorium for Prabhupada to speak? They just arranged one small little shop, small little storefront. Storefront means empty shop, empty place that could be made into a store, shop. And there Prabhupada started to teach Bhagavad Gita. So who sent these boys? Krishna. So this is how Prabhupada showed us, through Prabhupada's life, we can see how to depend upon Krishna and how Krishna takes care of his devotees. So that is why a devotee simply depends upon Krishna. And the result is, he sees how Krishna is taking care. And is this, do we see this kind of examples only in India? How many of you read Bible or Old Testament? Bible has two things, Old Testament and New Testament. The Old Testament, there is a description. Moses took the Jews who were like slaves in Egypt. So he freed them and decided to run away from Egypt and go to the land of milk and honey, Israel. So they were running. Don't you get to see also what happened to these Jews? One of the things, whether people will believe it or not, the river parted. They had to cross the Nile. And when they came, they were wondering what to do, how to cross the river. So many of them. So the river gave the way, parted, and they walked through the river. And the soldiers were coming, Pharaoh's soldiers were coming behind. And when the soldiers came, the river water filled up and they got washed away. Okay, we may say that that's a story. Now, the question is, did Moses lead the Jews from Egypt to Israel? Did he do that? Or, now, if we consider he did that, then we have to consider that they had to travel through the desert. Not for one day or 2 days, for a long, long time. Now, thousands of them traveling through desert, where they carried tons of supply of food, they were running away, so probably they had only their clothes and just some sundries. So in the desert, how could they manage to cross the desert? That took them so long. How did they do that? Where did they get the food from? Yes, the Lord supplied the food. They were, and what did the Lord supply? Supplied manna, manna. Manna means actually prashad. When it's coming from the Lord, it is His prashad, His mercy. Now some people became tired of eating this manna. Although it's being supplied by the Lord, some people became tired. They wanted to have meat. Then what did Moses tell them? This is a very important lesson that the Christians should recognize, should ponder over. Moses told them that your desire will be fulfilled, but be prepared for the consequence. If you want to eat meat, you'll get the meat. But be prepared for the consequence. And the next morning when they woke up, they found there were so many birds. So many of them caught the birds and burned them and ate them. Ate their meat. And then what happened? Then there was a big epidemic. And mind you, Moses warned them that you will get what you are wanting, but be prepared for, also be prepared for the consequences. And all those who ate the meat died. Now that is one point. Are the Christians meant to be vegetarians or meat eaters? So that from that it is clear that they're actually meant to be vegetarians. And Moses is here warning them. Yes, if you want meat, you will get it, but be prepared for the consequences. So this is how he's seeing that not only in India we have the display of the Lord's mercy being manifest in this way, the Lord's mercy is manifested wherever his devotees are. We have to recognize that Moses is a great devotee of the Lord. The Jews are actually devotees of the Lord. The Christians are originally meant to be the devotees of the Lord. Love thy father, Lord the God. Who is the father? How many of you seen Abhay Charan? Do you remember the scene? When the the priest came from Leicester, England, and he was attending Janmashtami, and he asked who Krishna is, what the other Englishman told him. He's God the Father that Jesus spoke about. He is the God the Father. But most of the Christians don't know about that. Jesus spoke about Krishna. God is one. It is not that the Christians have one God and Hindus have one God. That's how now it is presented. Krishna, a Hindu idol. Is Krishna a Hindu idol? No. Krishna was there even before Hinduism was there. So Krishna is the personality who all the religions are identifying as God. God is one without a second. Who Jesus spoke about, who Muhammad spoke about, what our Vedic scriptures and our acharyas are speaking about, this is one without a second. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's why there is the need for distributing this knowledge to enlightened people. And we are seeing so many Christians have joined ISKCON. Why? So many Jews have joined ISKCON. Why? So many Muslims have joined ISKCON. Why? Now, did they give up their religion or they found their original religion? That's what Prabhupada told. When some Catholic priests met with Srila Prabhupada in America and asked him, why are you converting these Christian boys and girls into Hindus? What was Prabhupada's response? No, I'm not converting the Christians into Hindus or Jews into Muslims. I'm simply making better Christians out of the Christians. Better Jews out of the Jews. Better Hindus out of the Hindus and better Muslims out of the Muslims. Many of us, or most of us, are coming from Hindu background here. Did we become better Hindu? Or, like, actually, if we look back, we didn't know what Hindu actually meant. Hinduism was a khichdi. A mixture of everything, sab chalta hai, was Hindu. But today we understood what real Hinduism is. Today we have become real Hindus. Because what Hinduism actually is teaching, the doctrines of real Hinduism is being practiced today. And same thing applies with Christianity. Aren't we following the Ten Commandments? Who is a Christian? Who follows the Ten Commandments? What is the first commandment? Thou shalt not kill. Now, are the Christians following that? They have started establishing the biggest slaughterhouses all over the world. Thou shalt not kill. So, are the Christians? No. We are the real Christians. Even the Muslim accept the supreme Allah. Yes, we have accepted Allah. And who is Allah? Krishna. So that is the real purpose. So in this way we can see that the perfect harmony has appeared in these teachings of the Vedas. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any question? Yes. Yeah, the action reactions are there. Reactions means result. So the results you offer to Krishna, or depend upon Krishna for the result. Don't act in order to enjoy the results, but act for the pleasure of Krishna and offer the results to Krishna. Other persons meaning? When you are doing it for Krishna, Krishna will take the reactions. Right? Yes, Nanda. Yes. Yeah.
So he doesn't remember about the Krishna from the birth, as you gave us an example.
Yeah, he has to come to the right atmosphere. When he comes in contact with Krishna consciousness, then the old recollections come back. In the sense, it may not come back in, but he becomes situated in the point, at the point where he left. Like, that's why we find that sometimes someone appears to be very advanced. He joins and it seems that he is already so advanced. So we have to understand that he's continuing from his previous birth. There is no diminution and loss in devotional service. Mainly because, we can look at it also, this devotional service, these activities are pertaining to the soul. So it remains with the soul. Whatever is done with the body and for the sake of the body will be lost with the when the body dies. Like, one may be a very scholarly person, one may be very wealthy, but he'll have to leave all, say he has a PhD. His PhD degree will go as soon as he gives up his body, leaves his body. Right? He may be a billionaire. All his $1 billion is gone as soon as he leaves his body. Right? Who are you talking about? Yeah.
As you given an example right now, that he became a son of Brahma.
Yeah.
When he was a kid, then he saw the Brahmaji, that he was meditating.
Yeah, I got your point. You see, in the next life, it begins when he comes to that spiritual environment or spiritual situation. Like devotees. Like, they may be in a certain way, but those who are, say, advanced, as soon as they come in contact with Krishna consciousness, then the advancement becomes manifest. Right? Until then, just in case of Narad Muni, he had to come to a situation when Brahma told him about Krishna. Then that recollection came back. Whatever advancement he achieved, he was immediately situated on that platform. Yes, sorry.
What is the best way to spread Krishna consciousness to those who aren't so they are open to reading, they are open to experiencing?
What is the best way to spread Krishna consciousness? By giving it to others who need it, who don't have it. It's like, you know, consider Krishna consciousness is spiritual wealth. Is spiritual wealth. Just like if you are very rich and you have some money, who do you give it to? Do you give this money to somebody who already has a lot of money? Or you give it to somebody who needs the money? Right? And by getting the money, he enriches himself. Right? Who needs it. And he should be willing also. Sometimes somebody may need it, but if he is not willing, there is an expression, as you know, casting pearls in front of a swine. Will the swine know the value of pearls? So will you cast the pearls in front of a swine? The swine will sniff the pearls and say, useless. Go away. So similarly, the person must be willing to accept it. So we go out, similarly the spiritual wealth, we give it to those who are willing to take it. So are you going to distribute it? Yeah, good, very good. Thank you. Yes, Archana? Our lack of faith is? Yeah, sort of. You can say, you know, like one who has, as you said, faith. One who has 100% faith in Krishna will depend 100% on Krishna. But if one is not 100%, say 50%, then he'll depend upon Krishna 50%, and 50% he'll depend upon his own resources. Right? So the point is to become 100% dependent. And as long as we are in the material nature, we do rely on our own resources, own abilities. We get some difficulties, physical difficulties, we run to a doctor to cure. It's fine. Whereas Prabhupada told us, if he became unconscious, we should not allow anyone to take him to hospital. Why? Because Prabhupada didn't want to depend upon those arrangements. Prabhupada rather wanted to depend upon Krishna. Answers your question? Okay. Hare Krishna. Yes? After he realized and saw Krishna, you know, by meditating, that is at the first part of Brahma Samhita, is describing that actually. That he received the Gayatri. Then he meditated on the Gayatri. And then as a result of that Gayatri, you know, he saw the spiritual world. And what he saw in the spiritual world, that is the Brahma Samhita from text 29 to 56. Yes, Jamuna Priya? Yeah. In the previous birth, he was the son of a maidservant. And he received the mercy. It says that he received the mercy of the four Kumaras. And then he achieved his perfection. And he was meditating and he saw the Lord. And it was such a joyful experience to see the Lord. That when the Lord disappeared, Narad wanted to see him again. But he could not, after all his endeavor. Then the Lord told him, in this life, Narad, you won't see me. But in your next life, you'll become my associate. In his previous life, and next life he became Narad. Yes, it was another kalpa. That's in the material world. Creepers, as I said, when you're traveling through the forest, there are possibilities of the creepers will tie you down. You try to go, and they entangle you. You get entangled by creepers. So in this material world, one gets entangled, by this attraction for the opposite sex. So, but anyway, we don't have to worry about it. We are not in bhavatabhi. we are in Vrindavan. That is another forest. Thank you. So I'll stop now. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol.